Who gives a crap about his opinion on things? Well, that's what winds me up as well. He has clearly shown time and time again he has no expertise in anything with this, yet people continue to ask and bother him.
He's in line to be the world's first trillionaire.
Right, welcome back. This is where everybody, you guys are all supposed to chime and go, oh, welcome back.
Good to be
It always feels a bit empty otherwise.
We're staying quiet until you've read the agenda.
Welcome back, episode 111. Do you want to know an interesting fact?
You'll believe it.
It's like deja vu. Okay, this week's agenda, ocean mining, the SEC approved the ETFs. Bloomberg, they predict big ETF inflows. Oh, there's a lot on this agenda this week. Franklin Templeton, they've got involved in the Bitcoin community, people think. ECB tweet about the digital euro. X have removed NFT profile pictures. Something about the Bank of England. Elon Musk is getting involved in Bitcoin again. BlackRock have released a Boomer ETF ad.
another ad review. There's a few.
Argentinian president and Bitcoin ETFs versus volume versus all 500 ETFs launched in 2023.
Let's get cracking. There's a lot on that.
There is.
Big agenda.
Price. Quick price recap.
I don't even know what the price is.
I don't know. It's probably going to be wrong.
That was from this morning, so it should be close enough. Unless you've had something drastic. delete my history. Coming up to gently use Honda Civic.
Mike has tried to go to the coin market cap and he's ended up on the Honda Civic 2000.
It's just bookmarked now. It's one of my favourites. Yeah.
$42,730. Mm-hmm. Nice. So, last episode's price was $45,600. The high since last episode was $48,900.
So the price has declined since the ETF have come on board.
It's been stable coin pretty much, hasn't it? 43-ish for the last 4 or 5 days now, I think.
Yeah.
You can see since the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Sideways.
Yeah, anyway.
Cool. Right.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Don't really have much comments on it at the minute.
Right. Ocean mining.
Oh yeah.
How do I say that? They've reached what?
Exahash,
which is about 1/500th of the current Bitcoin hash rate.
Yep.
What does that
mean? Let's kick it off with our mining update, I suppose.
Mining update.
Because we are using Ocean. They did hit 1 exahash for I think about an hour. Now they're way back down to 550 petahash. Oh. So they've halved since.
Why?
I don't know if they pumped their own hash rate just for the news or someone pumped it because you look at it, it just goes like that.
Oh.
Go on the dashboard, Mikey.
For literally how long are you talking about?
Let's find out. It's not long.
So do you think a miner just switch them on and then switch it off? I've seen that before on there.
It could be like someone's testing on coming on with a new batch of things that they've got.
See that peak there?
Ready to go.
I'd seen those spikes before.
So we were up here, weren't we?
Yeah.
And come
then
down,
he made the news, and then now we're here.
Someone's
playing around with it.
Yeah, checking out the dashboard. Anyway, we're
pointing there.
Yeah, we're all pointing there.
Come on, Dave, give us an update on our
Ocean mines blocked since the last pod. Zero.
Zero.
So they haven't actually mined a block since for a week, which is
a bit weird. With they do have 500 petahash still.
They were pre-Christmas, they were averaging, or over Christmas, three blocks a month.
Mm. 3 blocks.
Okay, so you still got time.
Still got time.
So yeah, we've been mining in this reward window, so when they do find a block, we will get our biggest payout.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the heaters.
Yeah. So we'll let you know when that happens.
That'll be a big money day.
Yeah.
Put some sort of siren upstairs when they do mine a block.
We need like one of the bells.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we'll buy a Lambo with the proceeds, but then realized you couldn't even buy a toy Lambo with the proceeds.
We'll have to buy some kind of Lambo Ordinal or something.
Yeah, you'll be able to buy a Lambo Ordinal. Anyway.
Cool.
That's it. But it's all there was to say about it.
Payouts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Building.
Skin in the game.
Yeah.
Heating the building.
It's the prestige.
Helping the network.
Securing the network.
It's saving the company money.
Saving the company money.
Which is good. Using less power than actual
heaters. Contributing to the Bitcoin network.
And just having a great time doing it.
Yeah. And all the positives. Yeah.
Providing content for the podcast.
And there's one still going on in this pod room right now. people won't have even noticed.
That's a good point as well, actually, is saving, because it's saving us money, it's saving electricity, which actually us mining and heating this place, us Bitcoin mining is saving electricity usage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's actually reduced our electricity usage.
Yeah.
By doing that and still heating the place.
Win-win.
Which actually is saving the environment. So Bitcoin saves the environment.
Yeah, in the short
term.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
See new scientists doing an article on that.
Yeah. More coming as well. We're about to up our game, aren't we? Yeah. Even more.
We're going to double. We're doubling.
When do they arrive?
They've not been sent out yet.
They've not been sent out yet?
No.
Didn't we order them 2 weeks ago?
Start of last week.
Probably a backlog because everybody listening to the pod is ordering them after you gave them such a glowing review.
Probably. Yeah.
Anyway. You get your commission in the end, but...
Hey. There was no commission.
No, no, no.
But everyone should have one. Please see miningwholesale.eu.
/Dave.
Yes.
No. We need the stats so we can share them.
Oh, I was meant to email them to you. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Right. Okay. Moving on. The SEC approved the ETFs for real this time.
Although it was a shaky...
It was, wasn't it?
Announcement.
It was the worst.
They put it out on the website, did they, and then it kind of half crashed.
Website went down.
Disappeared. Yeah. The PDF disappeared.
The website didn't go down, but the page broke. It's, yeah.
Do you reckon that was just from too much traffic, or just...
I think.
More incompetence.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Yeah. You know.
Don't know.
Did anyone read the statement from Gary?
Bits of it.
Yeah, I didn't realise the grayscale stuff kind of forced their hand a little bit. Yeah,
they won in court, didn't they?
Yeah, so it was like, right, they were backed into a corner by Grayscale.
Yeah.
And then the weird thing is that Grayscale's probably had the worst of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, why would Grayscale insist on converting and then knowing that and not lower the cost of their ETF?
So they
kind of push it through and then everyone else can jump on board.
Mm.
But it's not a great play for them. Am I missing something?
It's, yeah.
Go on.
So, the volume going through, they've kept a high fee. There's a different, I can't explain what I'm trying to explain in my head. There's another thought process between ETFs and arbitrage between things. So, having a higher fee helps for arbitrage in between things. I can't explain it. I'd have to Google it and get you the actual breakdown. But there's a reasoning behind that, and actually it's an incredibly clever reason Grayscale have done that. It's a clever play from...
So will you fill me in next
I'll fill you in next week. I'll get I'll send it
from
to
their
you.
Numbers, they've had like about half a billion pull out of their outflows. Grayscale. They have the highest fee, so it probably is fee-related. They've not lowered the fee. But everyone else is on 0.25 and they're on 1.25.
I don't believe for a minute it's any of that. It's probably going to be from fee-related stuff. That's outflow from people that have been stuck in Grayscale for many years and have wanted to come out. The volume wise, Grayscale are the biggest, I think, at the minute. And that's some of that is outflow, but some of that is just trading volume, which means they're making.
But are they not the only one with a net outflow from all the ETFs?
Well, that's because the other ETFs didn't have anything to start with.
So
they can't have a net outflow.
You're not going to get in day after.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
The accountant, everybody.
You could do that with an ETF now, and people will start trading it like that.
There's a really clever explanation that I'd read about why Grayscale have kept it high, and actually it's a very clever move from them, which is a weird concept.
So from a high level, it looks like for an ETF, they've had a huge outflow from it, charging the most fees. All the other ETFs look like they've benefited more from their pushing of the SEC. Yeah. And judging from Gary Gensler's statement, it was because they did that he was forced to let everyone else have an ETF.
Yeah.
So the
Grayscale are the real puppet masters in this whole thing.
Mm. Yeah, they do seem to be front running everything, don't they?
What do they have? Is it 28 billion in their holdings at the minute?
Is that Grayscale's right?
Yeah. And what their net outflow is like half a bill, is it?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even 26.5 billion there. They've got a lot to go. And so I know it's only been a couple of days that we've seen this go out, but you'll expect the biggest outflow initially at the start, and then it'll ease off over time. So I think they're in a pretty comfy position, to be quite honest. even a 1.5% fee.
Right. Fascinating.
Bloomberg predicted 4 billion Bitcoin ETF flows for the first trading day, with 2 billion directly from BlackRock.
Which they were almost...
Yeah, what was the actual figures?
Pretty much right. Was it like total... Because they said inflows.
They said inflows, yeah.
Volume was $4 billion.
I remember this getting quite messy on Twitter.
It got very messy.
I think people like... They've done this volume and everyone's like, no, they haven't.
No.
So there was conflicting
amounts. It's a learning curve for everybody, I think, on ETF. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, including us, yeah.
It's happened. We've tried to get our heads around a lot of this. But the volume is obviously people just trading and buying that back and forwards, not necessarily the Bitcoin purchases in the background. The net flow that they're talking about there is inflows and outflows of how much is coming into it. And then at the end of the day, when trading stops, they have to theoretically tally everything up and buy or sell the equivalent in Bitcoin. We don't know. I don't think that's one of the things everyone's speculating. There's people saying, oh, they're buying it as and when people are trading their stock price. So they're buying Bitcoin in the background there and then. But I don't believe they are. But also every ETF is probably going to be set up different in the background. I don't know if any of them are really buying it at the end of the day.
Yeah, because there was everyone's... Yeah, because I heard that report as well. Oh, they just buy it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And everyone was watching the volume.
But you can't do that because the price moves too much. And you're trading on an asset that trades 24/7, 365.
Would it not be specced out in their applications that are public, that no one's bothered reading?
Yeah, no, well,
including me.
I don't think it... Gives, I don't think it does. I don't think it gives you an exact
method of
how they do it or how they will do it. They might have examples. I don't think they've got examples, to be honest. But there's different ways people can do it, because people can be hedging against it and say, actually they'll hedge something with a futures market so they can make sure they don't have to buy till the end of the day, but then they'll net it off against itself, which actually zeroes itself out like they've been buying all day as and when. So there's different methods that people will be using.
It just strikes me as something that maybe the SEC probably would want to approve that kind of methodology, but maybe they don't have oversight over that part of it. I'm not sure.
Don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think just by the end of the day, they have to.
Is
it like 24 hours or something to make sure they are pegged one to one effectively with whatever the underlying asset is? Or is it, again, we don't even know, 24, 48 hours? I'm not sure what that time scale is. Nobody seems to know.
Yeah, a lot of so-called experts on Twitter.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because they did put themselves out as experts and then say, oh, it's the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right, and then,
nothing.
And there's nothing. But yeah, it's early days still. We've had three trading days, has it been? Because there's a bank holiday as well, so there's been three trading days for the ETF. And I think we've seen a lot from Grayscale go out, don't get me wrong, but I think that'll obviously ease off as time goes by.
They're doing all right, though, in terms of performance, aren't they?
Yeah.
Compared to like other ETFs.
So volume is a big one. So apparently the more volume with ETFs attracts more people. So the bigger the volume, the more people get attracted to come and trade these ETFs. As far as my understanding, I don't think there's ever been another ETF that has an underlying asset that trades 24/7, 365. So this is...
outside of the market.
New, outside of ours. So this is new. I know gold...
I know,
technically in some capacity, but
I love about it.
Not really.
Like in traditional markets, stocks, shares, we get absolutely screwed by aftermarket and pre-market.
Yeah, we don't have access to pre-market.
You can't get involved. All the RNSs are released, all the information about any stock and shares, quarterly reports are released aftermarket in a period of time where the institutions can still trade and retail cannot. So you absolutely...
You have front run all the time.
Yeah.
But
We're getting front run in that traditional sense. But Bitcoin now, this
is the reverse of
front run then. Which...
How do you like it?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you like... Here's my £100 deposit.
Thanks for
that black rock.
But that is exactly right, because that means then... On the reverse flip side of it, the traditional TradFi guys don't know how to deal with it, because they've never dealt with one before that as this reverse mechanism. So they've now got to try and figure out a reverse of how they deal with this, because people are going to be trying to arb against it in a reverse manner where they're not used to and not set up to do. So it's going to be a learning curve for them as well. Even if they're experts in ETFs, this is a different ETF.
Yeah,
this is a different ballgame. And that's, the volume, which was one of the later points, was the all of the ETFs that got approved in 2023, not Bitcoin ETFs, all the different ETFs around the world, which was 500 of them, they only did $450 million volume yesterday, so volume traded. And then BlackRock alone yesterday did $360 million, I think. So BlackRock alone are nearly doing more than all 500 other ETFs out there that got approved last year.
That's insane.
Which is just shows the interest in the Bitcoin ETFs. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you tally up all the actual collection of the 11 Bitcoin ETFs, they dwarfed the total 500 from last year in a single day.
Shows you, like 500 launched in 2023 is more than I envisaged.
It's nearly two a day, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's a crowded market, isn't it?
Mm. And some of them, it's crazy because we actually look at some of them other ETFs in the other markets. There's 500 and they're only doing 450 mil a day. They're not even averaging $1 million a day in volume. Mm. Exchanges are doing bigger than these ETFs.
It kind of mirrors the old shitcoin Bitcoin like that you see on some exchanges that have all the new coins coming through, all the meme coins.
New ETF.
Yeah.
Like a shitcoin.
Yeah. Exactly. And they have to try and market it and they have an initial pump because it's a new different thing and that's actually all the volume through Bitcoin is the only one that people care about.
Yeah.
It's kind of mirroring our industry a little bit.
But it's crazy how some of them ETFs are doing such small daily volumes that even like Coinbase and all them are doing much bigger volumes. Mm. But even the smaller exchanges out there are doing bigger volumes than these ETFs, which is crazy.
What did you think of the tickers for some of these ETFs? I thought they were quite funny.
Well, VanEck's got HODL 11 there.
Yeah.
HODL's there's a bear in there.
I saw like someone had ranked them of like clever to boring.
Yeah, but you've got to think of all these traditional financial institutions. Like if he's got HODL,
like VanEck.
They've had a little discussion about what's good in the industry. Oh, what do they like?
How many memes do you have to decide on a ticket?
What's brilliant? Yeah. All these little, imagine that.
It's a good 2 months worth of memes.
Yeah. It's just like, they're trying to take our thing and like ingrain it into their thing.
I know, but I kind of like that.
It's cute that
they're trying.
It's cute that they're trying. That's almost an insulting in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah.
It looks like, was it Bitwise did the best today, day one as well? Was it Bitwise?
Bitwise, yeah. They did day one, they did really well, yeah.
Sad.
They were the biggest volume day one.
Which was their advert?
But the old guy.
That was,
most my favourite adverts.
Whereas BlackRock's advert.
BlackRock released Boomer Bitcoin ETF ad.
It really was.
I don't think I've seen this.
It was dull as anything.
I haven't seen this.
It's 2 minutes of this. Actually, it's about a minute of this guy talking.
Just the frame one, I already know it's terrible.
There's like disclaimers.
Is this it?
This is it.
He like goes through and he pulls up some charts. And
It's
a lot like all their other adverts.
It's like 30 seconds nearly at the end of just, as you might 30 seconds.
But they're not trying to advertise to us, are they?
Massive disclaimer at the end.
Crazy, yeah. 20 seconds of a disclaimer.
And what did they call theirs? I mean, non-industrially related.
IBIT.
Yeah. They know the market. Sucking in the swim lane.
Yeah. I think that's what everyone's saying about it. Even though we're looking at that, it's thinking that's proper boomer adult.
Yeah. But they're just being the adults in the room.
They are trying to be the adults in the room and their audience would appreciate this explanation of it. In all fairness, I've not.
I kind of appreciate that slightly more than the other ones trying to.
Because you are a boomer.
There's no pretense. They're not pretending to have been in the Bitcoin industry for years and used all the meme type things that have grown up in the industry for the last 10 years. They're just saying, this is BlackRock, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And the rest would be like, oh no, we're down.
Look,
Franklin, laser eyes, shut up.
Don't get me started.
It's just garbage. And then she goes on over to say they've got actual laser focus in delivering better outcomes to our clients. It's just like, don't use our thing for your thing.
Wasn't it? Mm.
Get your own thing.
She didn't understand what the laser eyes indicated. That it's like that a Bitcoin-only thing. No, it's a Bitcoin-only. It was actually, originally, it was a Bitcoin to 100K focus thing. That was the point of it.
And we've all still got it on, haven't we?
We've all kept it on,
No, I've changed my profile picture. Says
Have you not got it?
I changed my profile picture more than you do.
It's slowly become a focus for Bitcoiners of focus on Bitcoin, ignore the rest in some ways as well. But I think that she didn't understand what that actually was and Franklin Templeton have added it, like exactly what you're saying. They're trying to copy our memes, but without even really understanding them, which then her tweet explains, like, they're going to do blockchain and Web3 and blah, blah, blah. And they've got their own portfolio of crypto assets.
They've been operating validated nodes.
I was going to say, do you think they've got a
across multiple
Ethereum validated node?
Well, I know they do.
They do have.
I know they do. Yeah,
definitely.
Not validated node, I don't think, but they have.
It says there we've been operating validated nodes.
Yeah, but that'd be like a Bitcoin node. That'd be a validated node, in theory. But they do run them on some wallets and
across multiple blockchains. It must be an ETH one.
So I gave a big long rant because I know some of the guys there. So I've given my feedback on what Franklin Templeton have looked like to the industry, and I didn't hold back.
So sorry, you emailed them after saying this?
Yeah. The guy actually emailed me and
riled you up to
asked for my input on it. So I just gave him some input back for the pros and cons of the ETFs of what's going on, and the laser eye thing cropped up and a lot of. A big long email I can forward on to you guys of my rant at them about the pros and cons of ETFs and Franklin's poor effort, I think, of the laser eyes.
Yeah.
I like the guy there. They're nice guys there and everything, so I'm not trying to abuse them in any way, but I think their CEO is absolutely screwed up.
You're questioning the integrity of Franklin Templeton.
I am. I'm questioning her integrity and potentially, I guess, the team around her, in some way. But... it was naive, maybe, is the best way to word it, and uneducated to do that.
Got the attention.
It got bad attention. Have you seen all the...
Did it?
Oh, God, yeah. The negative... The laser eyes was great, and everyone was like, oh, this is great, but then...
And then her explanation of...
It just destroyed everything, because Bitcoiners now don't believe a word that she says and what they say, because it's just done for volume and attention. Mm-hmm. And then even the shitcoiners that are thinking, oh, yeah, these guys are coming into Web3, also won't be able to trust and believe what anything they say, because they've already just... fully expose themselves.
Yeah, but I don't know what they're trying to achieve. Because like Bitcoiners aren't their market. You've already got Bitcoin.
They don't know.
You don't need an ETF.
That's the point. They don't understand. She's committed and very naive.
I have no idea. Yeah. So it's like, and the traditional market wouldn't understand what laser eyes is.
And understand anything she's rambling on about with that stuff, apart from all the buzzwords that they've heard it.
Well, but then she says she's got laser focus.
It's all over the place.
Still got those eyes though, haven't they?
Ironic that.
Yeah. I'm down.
The laser eyes are all over the place.
Better focus on you, Molly. Taking yours off.
Danny's email must not have had the desired impact.
Oh, they only got it yesterday.
Ah, right.
They did respond.
Give it till the end of the day and then it'll be gone.
All fairness, they actually took the constructive criticism on by the sounds of it, but it's still just... Yeah. They know that, I think, and they know they maybe made a mistake there. ECB, something else on the ETF, so we're moving on.
I think that was it. ETFs were all over the place.
There's another ETF piece to touch on, but...
Nope.
Oh.
I didn't know if the Bitwise one was a Bitwise.
Yeah, so part of my rant to Franklin was actually not about Franklin necessarily, it was just about the ETFs in general. So this is actually ties in with it, what Mike is on there.
Mm-hmm.
I touch on this last week?
Was it someone else?
Yeah, we talked about VanEck.
VanEck.
Yeah.
So they're all donating. They're all going to start donating now. And that's a massive con at the minute, because they are going to start pushing for their agendas and what they think. We've already seen now Larry Fink, BlackRock CEO, playing the game, going onto the news, talking about things. And he's now saying that Bitcoin, he doubts Bitcoin will ever become a currency. So already he's trying to put Bitcoin to his audience in particular as well as gold store of value investment, not as a utility use case. So he's already now showing his cards and saying, this is our agenda, because it fits with their investment thesis of what they're trying to do, which will then start to push people's mindset and thought process into it's an investments thing. It's not a currency. It can't be used for utility purposes because Larry Fink said so. Because that fits with his investment thesis for ETFs.
So we're saying that an awful lot of core funding now will be from these ETFs. Not BlackRock haven't said they're going to do that yet, though, have they?
I saw one. I didn't know if it was fake. I saw one.
I thought that was fake. Yeah,
it was job, fake. Yeah, the job, yeah. Job description. So
they mocked up a job on their website for a Bitcoin core developer.
Yeah, that's what we're expecting next. That is, so other people are realizing that as well. But there's two or three, is it now?
We saw Van Eck had given it to Brink. I don't know if Bitwise have said.
So Bitwise have said they're giving it to Brink, Human Rights Foundation, and OpenSats.
OpenSats, that was on it. Yeah.
Okay.
So it looks like a good thing, obviously, but that's going to come. Money incentives, we'll talk.
I think it gets more scary when they start to not give to, like, organisations we're aware of or start to hire in-house for it.
Yeah, they're an in-house development team.
It's Human Rights Foundation, Gladstein.
Yeah, OpenSats is like Odell and a few others. Yeah.
So then it'd be interesting to see what those guys say about.
Yeah.
Well, they'll get out what they're getting free money. Or they're gonna do what the puppet master says at some point.
No, they've got integrity there.
We'll find out.
Everyone's got
this is my point. There's a influence with financial incentive. Now, Gladstein, I agree, and I think he would hopefully have the integrity to say no. But if they say, right, we're going to stop the donations to you guys for the Bitcoin Core devs unless you start working on these projects, what's the decision going to be? Are they going to work?
Like, it's not going to happen initially. It's over time, once they've been donated 5 years or whatever.
We're going to change our donations to these guys instead of you unless you start your core devs working on this particular thing. That's where we start to see it. Mm-hmm. And it'll take time, as Zach says, but...
So how do you counter that? The idea that we would can either sponsor core devs ourselves or do more core dev developing as an organization?
For me, the community should be sponsoring the core devs through like the GitHub donations and things. And the core devs, that would be the more ideal scenario, because then everyone's donating like, you know, 20 quid to your dev that you know is working on something that you believe in. It spreads the agenda rather than it being centralized into these big entities. But the problem is a lot of Bitcoin is just donate to people.
And the problem is right now there's maybe a severe lack of funding for these developers, so they will take kind of anything they can to carry on working on something they're passionate about.
We literally saw that with Loot Dash.
Yeah.
But if we were to employ like a developer whose their responsibility is to do some core dev, then our integrity would be questioned as well.
Yeah, I agree.
The same agenda would be
we've never done that.
No, I'm just thinking of like how would organizations get around it? That might be one way, but you'd have the same accusation.
Personally, the organization shouldn't be involved. The individuals should be like, I donate personally to Bitcoin Core devs. So I'm doing that based off the ones that I believe are good, genuine, very useful and have a good impact on Bitcoin. So I will donate to them guys. So you guys should all be donating to them guys as well, or to the guys you believe are good and the ones that'll have the biggest impact.
So how did you pick who you're donating to?
I know who they are and I know their integrity, what they're working on.
So you like the projects they were working on, so they're fulfilling your own agenda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's better at a mass scale community level rather than the big entities.
So if the community agenda is the same, that's when you get change then at that point.
It's a community instead of that. Yeah. Okay.
So that's my thought process of how it should work. But
is there some sort of profile page that we can look at all these core devs and say,
there's a website.
I'm going to pick this guy.
I forgot what they call it. Odell launched it a while back.
That's pretty interesting. There's obviously GitHub. You can just go on and see all the core devs and you can just donate via GitHub donations. Mm. Or there's a
website where you can see how to donate to each person as well. Yeah.
Quick question. By reading Programming Bitcoin, would I get on that?
No.
Okay.
I'll donate to you.
I donate one sat daily to you.
Sats daily as well.
So this one, all the Bitcoin Core devs can just add themselves to this list and you obviously it links to different things, but you can just donate via Lightning or whatever.
And you see what they're working on.
Yeah.
Link that one, though. That's quite interesting.
Yeah. We've tried to push this in the past many times, but, you know, people are lazy. People, also think, you know, why am I giving money to these guys and stuff like that, but there's such a small percentage of actual people that own Bitcoin that actually donate to these guys. Even like Michael Saylor and stuff like that, he's wealthy enough, he's got lots of Bitcoin. Is he donating to Bitcoin Core devs?
He might be privately,
not aware of. Publicly, he's never really done that as far as I'm aware. Mm.
And he's never really given a call to arms either.
No.
People to do it.
Like Jack Dorsey is, and he donates to him and does all that sort of stuff, which is great.
I saw you typing for ages there, Mike, and nothing was happening.
I wasn't going to tell him. So that was funny. Okay. I might pick my favourite core dev then and send him some sats.
Like picking a horse, isn't it?
Oh, it's
like
human beings, well.
Just the way you said it, I'm going to pick my favorite.
Oh. Okay. Right.
ECB, they tweeted stating the digital euro is public money and Bitcoin doesn't fulfill the characteristics of money. And they got community noted. The note stated that digital euros will not fulfill the three main characteristics of money because if it's proposed limits, it will not function as a proper store of value.
Mm-hmm. Which is quite hard to say.
I flagged this for purely entertainment value. The fact that it kept getting community noted and all the Bitcoiners were responding that Bitcoin is sound money with fixed supply, which gains purchasing power over time. The euro is fiat currency backed by nothing, which loses purchasing power, was the main response that got ratioed the original tweet. And I just thought that's funny.
I love a good ratio.
Mm. I love the community note thing.
Yeah,
just calling it out
as one. Yeah, it does work well.
Is that a new thing?
No.
Elon brought it in soon after he took over, I think.
Right, so you can just...
Yeah. I think it was already in there called something else, but they were getting ready to relaunch it. I think it was a thing years ago.
How do you contribute to a community now?
You can apply to be one. Uh-huh. To be like a thingy. I think a couple of people like Bitcoiners that are. People just tag them if they think they need companies to be noted.
There's a good Twitter account which just shows like all of the community notes that go up on the day.
Oh, that's cool.
It's definitely good. I'm waiting for the first fake community note as well. I don't know what kind of approval process.
In fact, it goes up. Like, someone disputes it with a community note.
Yeah.
There'll be some of the flat earthers will have that somewhere.
Yeah.
It's interesting because this originally was more pro Bitcoin. It originally said that the digital euro CBDC won't fulfill the money, but Bitcoin does.
And then
it's since been edited again to delete that bit.
Yeah.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they obviously can be edited once they've been uploaded.
Mm. It'll be like Wikipedia. People will edit back and forwards, won't they?
Yeah,
some sort of consensus eventually. Well, Wikipedia, not sure on that, but...
Mm. It's interesting, though, because at a higher level, a digital euro would have the same issues in the regional... in Europe, right, there's a problem in the fact that some European bloc countries have monetary problems and need... They might be going through deflation, need higher interest rates, where other ones need lower interest rates. But they're all...
On the euro.
On the euro. So there's only one rate. So if you, in a Bitcoin standard, like whether there's no rate or state control, you'd kind of like a similar sort of scenario I was thinking about. So it's not like the perfect situation for like a governmental control because there's so many different regions. But it's also because Argentina are... Looking at more.
What a segue!
I know,
what a segue!
I was talking about earlier, and I thought, set on my bro here.
What a segue!
They're doing a more regional currency.
Well, not doing it. I think the new elected president has said he won't make it illegal to do. And then there's a region. What's the region called, Mikey? Scroll down. There's a region where the governor of that region, La Rioja province, they've said they're going to create their own local currency.
So they can.
But the new president says, read that quote, he's not a fan of them, but he's not going to make it illegal.
Right.
It's kind of just going out of the market decide, isn't he, by the sounds of it?
Yeah, he's calling quasi currencies. And And then the governor of Buenos Aires has been talking about it as well, apparently. So we may just see in Argentina these local currencies pop up out of nowhere.
Mm. So they have more regional control of their currencies, which is...
I don't know, to be honest.
It's a scary thing.
Recipe for a disaster, I think.
Yeah. It's like when Greece joined the euro. They've gotten absolutely nailed. Their economy went to pot, if you remember.
Mm.
It's just interesting how different countries are going to buy a different way, but there's definitely a push from the ECB for digital euro. Yard's talking about it all the time.
The article about Argentina also talks about the first kind of, now the laws have been changed around property and landlord agreements and stuff, the first rental agreement for Bitcoin has been made in Argentina.
Oh, I saw that,
So that's cool.
Yeah,
which has been allowed under the new laws from the new president. So that's promising.
It does sound like chaos in Argentina right now, though.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
It was before, wasn't it? So it's not like this has changed anything.
Just keep going.
It comes in, devalues the currency 50%.
Yeah.
And then says, you can go make your own local currencies, but they're not going to be good.
I'm sure he's got a plan.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah, that was his plan.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Twitter, X, they've removed NFT profile pictures.
Yep, they didn't last long.
Nope.
Goodbye NFTs.
Two years. Just under 2 years.
No.
Do you think they'll remove the Bitcoin Lightning integration tipping thing?
Oh, is that still in?
I assume that's still in.
I thought they removed that.
Did they remove that?
I thought they had.
I don't know.
Sure, actually.
I'm not sure then.
Did we ever get access to it where we are? I can't remember.
No.
It was on the US.
Yeah. I thought they'd already removed that then.
Yeah. Ever remember that? It was a bit weird, wasn't it?
So it was somewhere where you could just go on people's user profile and they'd have a Lightning address in there and you could just tip them some sats. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, you probably still can't see him from our side, but we just can't
receive. So I know Mal has commented on it recently when Elon said he didn't know about Lightning, and Mal has went, yeah, you do, because you integrated us into Twitter. Yeah.
But he didn't.
But he wasn't.
Yeah, but he wasn't there then.
Yeah, yeah. So that I assume then it was still in at that point, but...
You probably see, can you, on other people's Twitter accounts? Can you see that?
I don't know. I've not seen it for a while.
And it was all via Strike?
Yeah.
No, what...
Was it not?
No, I don't think it was, no. They were involved in
the whole
with it, but I don't really know what.
They had really weird icons for like the Lightning logo, which threw me off. Yeah, still in for like those little things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So it's here.
Yeah, Bitcoin sent to, yeah. Oh, I can do it. I'm not.
Can you?
Yeah.
He tipping.
I just went on Jack Mallers.
Solid.
So I wonder if dunno if that's on their roadmap to remove that. Hopefully not. They come back and improve it, maybe. And
I mean,
but with Elon, it doesn't sound like, I don't know, anything's possible with Elon. No. So.
The NFT profile things were just a gimmick, though. I didn't even really understand.
Yeah, for them to remove it is great. It just shows that, yeah, there was nobody actually cares about him years later after you can't make money on him. And don't get me wrong, there'll be
a cycle, I'm sure,
with the chaos of it all, but.
I wonder with the size of Twitter, how like low of a active users using it needs to be before it
really get rid,
because they are, you know, the number of active users they have.
But how many active users do they even have using it to start with?
That's what I'm saying, is it that low there? It's like, even they'll remove it.
Meta did the same back in November, didn't they? And they probably got just as many, if not more, across all their platforms. So the use rate must be awfully low.
Yeah.
Well, you can see the volumes, can't you, on the NFT marketplaces?
Yeah.
The volumes have died a death, so... If you want an NFT for your Twitter profile, you'd have to go and buy one, which would have to be on one of the markets. So you can kind of see that as an indicator as to how much would be going through that. And I have to hazard a guess that most of them is wash volume and wash trading.
Tragic, that is.
So yeah, can't imagine as much.
Oh well, good riddance. Bank of England head tells Parliament Bitcoin is too efficient for use.
Oh, I purposely didn't start this. Who started that?
Just
for entertainment value.
I think it was kind of just off the cuff in terms of without looking at any data. Your governor of the Bank of England said it's not taking off. Whenever we looked at like even some of the latest Lightning figures, the volume through there, other rivers. Lightning growth report.
You're giving this guy too much credit. There's no chance he knows what Lightning is.
I know, but even saying a payment method is pretty inefficient, and you can tell not really any data to back that up.
That's what's annoying. This off the cuff comment.
Yeah,
it gives it more weight because he's the governor of the Bank of England. So you'd think he should know about. He's commenting on it, so he should know the facts.
All the historic governors of the Bank of England have been really good, haven't they? You know.
Matt Carney's book.
Oh yeah, of course.
What a book.
Yeah.
He was great. Didn't he get sacked in the end?
No.
What did he do? Did he step down? Step down because it was such a mess.
No.
There's no chance.
No. I mean, I think
look at the state of
their terms.
Look at the state of the economy and everything. And can you say that any of these guys have ever had a positive impact?
Yeah, but Matt Carney was governor of the Bank of England during 2008. You could hardly blame him for...
He had a hard time.
That's
American housing bubble, and
still Mark Carney doesn't mean he was in there for what 12 months.
Carney,
yeah, he only lasted like 12 months.
Carney was there for ages.
No, I don't think so.
At least 5 years.
5 years, okay.
Not 12.
That's not ages, but
I don't know. But I'm gonna say at least 5 years.
Come on,
7 years.
7 years.
7 years.
Win 1-0.
12 months.
You said five, you weren't even close.
Anyway,
I don't know.
Guy from Bank of England's made an off-cuff comment saying The method is pretty inefficient. We, as
you'd appreciate more there, sorry, if he'd like, he came up with, at least attempted to back that up with some stats.
Why?
And like, kind of show us the inefficiencies. But it's just
some information. I hate these.
It's just off the cuff statement by someone in power, and they don't realize what how
buzzword comments like the Franklin Templeton. Oh yeah, we're looking at blockchain and Web3. Like, you're throwing buzzwords out there because you think everybody, people do that because then it makes them look like they know what they're talking about, which is like what he's done here. Whereas, you know, break that down. Tell us why. Tell us, like, explain the differences between that versus other things. Why is it inefficient? Like, where's he pulled that out of his
answer? Yeah, I mean, like, does he even know what Lightning is at that point? If he's saying it's an inefficient payment method.
But as opposed, when you say something's inefficient, inefficient as opposed to what as well?
Yeah.
Are you comparing this to? It's like, there's no thought process.
You say the current system is pretty inefficient.
No. But he's terribly inefficient.
Yeah. 2 days for confirmation.
Yeah. Swift payment takes 5 days to arrive. It's like, you know, what is... inefficient in that respect. It's like, what also respects of inefficiency of time taken to get there, or inefficiency of use of resources, like what's even in context to?
But in the mainstream media, so this guy gets reported on, but there's no counter for Bitcoin. There's no someone trusted individual in the mainstream media.
We're not allowed to say anything anymore.
Everything they would say would be, you know, the counter.
Got checkmated, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
As soon as we speak, we get slapped.
It's just to be made aware. People need to be aware. Anyway, that's why I ticked it.
Right, last one, I think. Yeah. Elon Musk explains why Bitcoin would be difficult to use on Mars.
Go on, Danny.
I explained that to Elon Musk 2 years ago. Clearly, he did not pay attention.
How did you explain it to him?
In a tweet. I tagged him, actually, in the tweet. I genuinely did 2 years ago. Actually, if you go on my feed...
Oh, I'm going to get back 2 years
left. No, I retweeted it the other day.
Okay,
when it came up.
I'm not sure we'll be able to see it. Cause I'm not...
Did anyone listen to the Spaces with Elon?
No, I didn't even
heard a few sound bites, but I didn't listen to the whole thing. He was getting ragey about people asking about
He was
Bitcoin.
Getting angry about Bitcoin, wasn't he? Did he say he was going to leave or something?
Yeah. He got asked about Bitcoin, and he was like, if I'm just going to get annoying Bitcoin questions, I'm just going to sign off.
Yeah.
Which is, that's...
I'm only here because Kathy invited me.
And then
she's doing a Bitcoin ETF.
What, it's a Bitcoin ETF talk.
No, like,
what?
Yeah.
What's he expecting?
It's pretty funny.
And then did nobody then ask him about Bitcoin?
I think then everyone shied away from asking it.
Why? Straight away asking about Bitcoin. If he leaves, it just shows what he's like.
What were they talking
Ridiculous.
About?
Ridiculous.
And what did they ask him if they couldn't ask about Bitcoin in the Bitcoin ETF space?
Stupid. Who gives a crap about his opinion on things? Well, that's what winds me up as well. He has clearly shown time and time again he has no expertise in anything with this, yet people continue to bother him.
He's in line to be the world's first trillionaire.
People respect money, don't they?
Yeah, that's the ridiculous concept for it. It's ridiculous because he still doesn't know what he's talking about in any of this.
It doesn't matter.
But we talked about it. He self-confessed they didn't as well, really. It's like...
And then people are still giving him credit.
Of course he doesn't have time to go look into all this.
No. Trillionaire.
Look, Dave's giving him credit. Trillionaire. He could be a trillionaire. I think Satoshi will be the first world trillionaire.
Maybe Elon is Satoshi.
Tweet that.
What does Bitcoin price need to go to be? Satoshi's a trillionaire. That's an interesting stat.
Mm. Are you looking for your 2-year-old tweet?
Got it.
Right.
From 25th of May, 2021. This was after
Can we explain this a bit better? Why does Elon not think that Bitcoin works in Mars, and why do you think it does work on Mars?
So Mikey will explain why it doesn't.
So Elon says that Mars can be up to 20 light minutes away, so the reconciliation time would be too long. It'd have to be a localized thing, apparently.
So he's also got that stat technically incorrect, I think, unless what a light minute is, as opposed to...
It's not possible, it's not easy.
A human minute.
Minute is how far light travels in a minute's time. It's mirrored distance, not time.
So we can send data at... So my data that I got from... Actually, it would be roughly 5 to 20 minutes to transfer data from Earth to Mars and vice versa. Which would be 20 light minutes away, technically, would be the top end. But 5 to 20, not necessarily 20. And you can transfer that at 3.7 meg per minute, which would mean... that's interesting.
Adam back was...
Yeah, so actually, Adam Did he comment on this?
I think Corallo was on the space with him as well and might have talked on it.
I think it might have been him who brought up Lightning and said it before, like, you could use Bitcoin with Lightning on Mars Farm.
Yeah.
So you had channels there.
Have I not spoken about this on a pod in the past when we went through this? Because I was trying to explain that you'd end up with Lightning hubs. So you'd have like a Lightning network effectively Mars that everybody would be able to use for payments. And then when you're coming, closing, opening channels, obviously that's to go into a transaction into a block. But that block could then be replicated throughout the planets. Within 20 minutes, you could replicate equivalent of what would be, let's say, three blocks nearly, or two to three blocks in that time, which if there's a block every 10 minutes, you can more than send that data around and share that. You may wait for six confirmations before you close and open a channel officially, which is like kind of what we've seen historically anyway. But you would then be able to have the hubs of Lightning on Mars, Lightning on the Moon, Lightning on Earth, and the data can be easily passed around in enough efficient time. Because at that point anyway, you're not going to be using on-chain transactions to buy a loaf of bread, are you? You're already not doing that now.
No.
So Lightning would be more than capable of doing what is needed for a multi-planetary currency. Mm.
So Bitcoin is interplanetary money.
Yes.
Nice. Quote. Yes. Oh, yeah, there's the title to today's pod.
Cool. Thanks for clearing that up. I was worried about how I was going to buy my loaf of bread on Mars.
I know.
No, I don't have to be.
So my data is as well, to disclaimer, my data is from 2 years ago when I wrote this. Because I was saying, I'd noticed that 1.36 megabyte average size back then per block. I think we're at a bigger block size now, aren't we? Mm. Slightly bigger.
Play the clip, Mikey.
Yeah, it's like 3 minutes long. Nah, yeah. It doesn't matter then. It's not just him talking.
Is that where it says, don't talk to me about Bitcoin?
No, it cuts off before that, unfortunately.
Trillionaire. Sound.
Kaz, did you get the
Satoshi stat?
End of the agenda.
No, I couldn't find it. It's just showing how to be a Satoshi miner itself. So how many sats to have a million sats, essentially.
So you're trying to find the price.
I need to know how much.
What's a Bitcoin price need to be?
Yeah.
Satoshi's got, say, roughly a million Bitcoin. So divide a trillion by a million.
How many zeros does a trillion have?
Is that going to be like a...
It's nine, isn't it? What about how much? Sorry, how many?
By a million.
No, that's a billion, isn't it?
That is a billion.
That is a billion, shit.
With three zeros. I assume it's going to have to be... Is it $1 million? Is that it? $1 million Bitcoin price.
Makes
and Satoshi is a trillionaire. Yeah. There you go, Dave.
Ooh, the race is on.
The race is on. My money's on Satoshi. Yours is on Elon.
Mm. They're saying within 10 years. I think it was on Bloomberg said within 10 years.
Cathy Ark was saying.
Pardon?
By 2030, Bitcoin will be $1 million. Yeah.
Ooh.
So Cathy versus Elon there. Right, there we go. Cathy versus Bloomberg.
There we go. Cool.
Cool.
I can make a little website on that.
The race.
Yeah.
Race to a trillion.
Yeah. I might do that.
I mean, get some US dollar hyperinflation. We all might be trillionaires.
That's on Elon's side, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Class, right.
Thank you, guys.
See you, guys.
Peace.